Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
What if I told you imaginary friends are real?
This is just so exciting.
Now, get ready for the movie event with the greatest cast you've ever imagined.
Showtime.
Ryan Reynolds, John Krasinski, Haley Fleming, Fiona Shaw, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Louis Gossett Jr., Matt Damon, Emily Blunt, George Clooney, Maya Rudolph, Bradley Cooper, Sebastian Maniscalco, John Stewart, Sam Rockwell, Awkwafina, Keegan-Michael Key, and Steve Carell.
I need to throw up or I need a snack. It's one of the two.
Gross.
If. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Written and directed by John Krasinski.
CBS Sunday, after the Equalizer.
You collect rewards, right?
This is how I make my living.
It's the season finale.
Everyone's looking for something.
Of Tracker.
You strong swimmer?
So-so's
okay.
Justin Hartley stars.
How you survive, you make quick, smart decisions, and you never let panic take the wheel.
Sounds cool.
It is cool, actually. Very cool.
Tracker, CBS season finale Sunday after the Equalizer on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Hello, everyone, and happy Monday as we get ready for the Go 24/7 podcast. And you might be getting used to these Monday podcasts where Glenn and I are not talking football, although football's right around the corner. College baseball season in full swing. And Glenn, LSU with an impressive weekend out there in Houston at Minute Maid Park. It started off with Friday's win against Texas. They then defeated Louisiana Lafayette the next day. And then Texas State, which was kind of a surprise team, upset Texas in the weekend. Solid competition all through Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Before we kind of dive into each game, what stood out to you maybe overall about LSU's performance and how they found ways to win in kind of some different ways?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're talking about just hourglass, just overlooking kind of a big takeaway from the weekend, I think you have to start with the starting pitching. You start with Luke Holman, they made the switch this weekend to go with Luke Holman on Friday against Texas, Gage Jump on Saturday against ULL, and then Thatcher Hurd on Sunday against Texas State. And I think you saw something from each one of those performances that leads you to believe this can absolutely be one of, if not the best starting rotation in all of college baseball this year. I mean, they just were lights out, starting with Luke Holman against Texas. I think he goes 5 1/3, 12 strikeouts against, you know, a team in Texas that's very highly ranked and probably going to be a pretty high seed in the NCAA tournament. He goes out and really shoves and does a really nice job of locking them down, gives the offense a little bit of time to get going. It took the offense a little bit of time to get going in that Friday game. And Holman's just his demeanor on the mound. He's just a killer, man. You know, he's not going to get his heart rate above 60 sometimes. I mean, he just is so calm and is able to execute all of his pitches for strikes. Has really been working the slider and the curveball well with the fastball, and it's really all about location with him. He's a guy that isn't overly powerful when you talk about today's day and age of pitchers. You know, he's 91, 92, 93, you know, kind of a lower to mid 90s fastball, but where he really kills you, it's just in the location of his pitches. And you saw Texas on Friday. They were looked all out of whack on offense. Yeah. And then you kind of think, well, this isn't going to get much better, or this can't get much better. And then Gage Jump comes out and you know, retires 15 of the 16 batters he faces, throws 76 pitches, looks like he could be a Friday night starter for you, and really just did a phenomenal job. They got him, you know, they've been building him up slowly, but he's done a really, really nice job. And the thing that really stood out to me, and I wrote this kind of in our three things column that we post every week, kind of following the previous week's performances, the movement on his fastball is really good. And I don't mean from a velocity standpoint, like 94, 95, that's all great from a left-handed pitcher. But the movement he gets in terms of just where the ball starts and where it finishes at the plate, it just really can throw you off as a hitter. And he was getting some really good movement. You could call it maybe a cut fastball, but you know, it was really a four seamer is what he was telling reporters after the game. And if you're getting that kind of movement in your fastball and just kind of where it finishes is not where it starts, that can be something that really throws hitters off. And I thought he did a really nice job of controlling the game against ULL. And Thatcher, I thought, had some really good moments as well. I mean, he had the struggles there in the fifth inning, and I think those were it was just really the inning should have been over maybe 15 minutes before it was. And there was just some really unlucky kind of slow dribblers that Michael Braswell wasn't able to quite finish off and complete on those plays. But Thatcher, you know, he's your power guy. He's your kind of psycho starter, the guy that's going to go out there and pitch with a lot of energy and a lot of effort. And I think probably the thing that LSU's been trying to reel in this year is just, you know, when things start to go awry, just don't let it kind of snowball on you. And I think that was something that he really did a nice job of. He had some innings there where they got on base and they were threatening to score, and he was able to kind of get out of some jams, had some nice pitches. But it's really going to be about how he controls his emotions on the mound and how he locates his pitches, especially his fastball, which we all know can get up to 97, 98. It's electric stuff. But just having more control. So I think really the starting pitching for me was the biggest takeaway.
Yeah, I love what you said there about all three of those guys. We talk about Psycho. We're going to talk about Justin Lohr here in a second. That guy was nuts. Kind of gave me flashbacks, if LSU baseball fans remember. The young man that pitched for Wake Forest against LSU in the College World Series last year was going absolute nuts. Little less on the talking to himself, but Lohr gets himself psyched up out there on the mound, and that's really it's a fun character on a team that I think is full of characters. For me, Glenn, it was the timely hitting. I wrote about that in the recap on Friday. LSU came up with hits when they needed it. Look, this team's different than last year. Every single team year over year is going to be different. Jay Johnson really tried to tell fans and media that, you know, through that spring training portion, you know, through even the first kind of, you know, non-con 2 weeks of the season. And I think we all felt, okay, once they get to Houston, you're really going to get to see, like, when the competition takes a step up. And it wasn't just Texas. UL Lafayette's a solid baseball team. Texas State is a solid baseball team. Both of those teams are going to vie for, you know, that automatic spot out of the Sun Belt Conference this upcoming season. They're very good baseball programs. But you kind of saw, like, especially, you know, in that first game, the barrage that this team can kind of hit. And they've mentioned it. Hitting is contagious. So the home runs in Friday's game. Then you go to, Saturday, where these guys, I feel like they were kind of feeding off of a great pitching performance from jump. They get four there in the fifth. Yes, they give up three in the sixth, but they just keep coming back with, you know, that solo run there in the seventh inning was massive. Ultimately, the difference maker in that game. And then you go Sunday, where facing a solid Texas State team who had a lot of momentum, you know, off the weekend, already beating Texas. It had all the makings, if we're honest with you. Like, here's where LSU could trip up, you know, against a team that is would love nothing more to take out Texas and LSU in the same weekend as they get ready for their conference portion. And they used a Thatcher Hurd pitching performance that was a quality start, but then they just blast the ball over the park. You see guys like Steven Milam, Hayden Travinsky getting more involved. Paxton Kling got involved in yesterday's action. Brady Neal. I mean, it's just really cool to see a lineup that 1 through 9, Glenn, I feel comfortable with saying, okay, if, you know, number 2, number 4, number 6 are not producing in the order today, we can count on number 3, number 7, and number 8. Like, that's just how this lineup works. And it was really, really fun. And then, you know, go back to Fridays. I'm going to tell you, like, I've never been, and I plan on going this year. I've never been to Minute Maid Park. But hitting a ball opposite field like Jared Jones did for that home run is very hard, regardless if you're using the college bats or if you're using a major league bat. And then I'll also tell you this too, Tommy White's home run, that was cramped. Yeah. That's a key piece that I thought coming out of the weekend. It's like, okay, if he starts to get going, man, this I think Xavier's in for some trouble this weekend. But just your thoughts on the offense.
Yeah, so I think, you know, all great points there in terms of 1 through 9 and just guys that can step up when maybe others aren't. I would extend it though to maybe 1 through 12 or 13 because what you see here is also a team that's still figuring out its rotation, still figuring out where guys can best impact the team, which guys can do it most consistently. I mean, you saw it this weekend where the outfield, you know, Mac Bingham, Jake Brown, and I'm blanking on the other guy that sat in one game, but they had three outfielders that sat in different games this weekend who all were, you know, hitting in the 3, 4, 5 hole in the other two games prior. So like there's just so much that I think LSU is still trying to figure out with this group and kind of where they can plug and play the best 9 guys. And I don't know that they might, I think this will probably continue into SEC play, of course, but I don't know if they just continue to kind of run, let this run its course and continue to kind of have this rotation of guys, you know, maybe not somebody like, oh, it was Josh Pearson. That's who it was. Josh Pearson also had a game where he sat this weekend as well. And you know, he comes back the next day and goes 3 for 5 at the plate with the home run. So after not playing the day before. So there's guys in here that I think you can kind of plug and play based on matchups. Which is just a real, real asset and a good, good problem for Jay Johnson to have. And we thought coming into the year that they would kind of settle into something. I mean, it probably would take them a little while. But I honestly think that, you know, right now, the way this team's playing, they can continue to kind of have a flurry of rotation of guys. I mean, you look at the catcher situation as well. Brady Neal, Alex Milazzo, and Hayden Travinsky each caught a game this weekend. And Travinsky was kind of the DH, and Neal was the DH on Sunday where Travinsky was catching. So, like, there's just so many kind of maneuvering pieces here that LSU's working on. You look at a guy like Ashton Larson, the freshman infielder at first base. He didn't play all weekend. He comes in the 9th inning on Sunday and rips an RBI single into right field. And, you know, you ask Jay Johnson after the game, and he's like, well, I would love to find more bats for this guy, but there's just not really – when you're hitting behind Jared Jones, who's been one of the best power hitters in college baseball this year so far, it's just – it's kind of hard to get him on the field. And you look at Larson's numbers, albeit in a limited sample size, he's hitting 714 this year as kind of a – you know, an extra kind of added value piece they've been throwing out at the end of games. So like there's an endless well, I think, of opportunity here for this team to really capitalize on their potential. And I think you're starting to see them put it together a little bit here. You know, Mac Bingham was a guy that Jay Johnson said just a week and a half ago, and he's somebody we're going to be rolling with for, you know, the foreseeable future as an everyday player. Well, he's one that sits, you know, this past weekend in a game, and you know, you like what you have, obviously, with what Paxton King's doing in center field, and Jake Brown, the freshman, I thought had a really, really big time weekend. Steven Milam at second base, I think, has kind of solidified his spot as the everyday second baseman going forward. And you know, there's just a lot of different possibilities that I think you can work out in the outfield, and certainly a catcher. They're going to continue to have that revolving door at catcher, but you really like what the offense is doing so far, and I think that they can continue to grow on this and go into SEC play with a lot of momentum.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does. 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season.
The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, they've got about this weird schedule as I'm looking at it. I mean, Glenn, they're going to play about 9 games, you know, in the next like 10 or 11 days before they get to that road series against Mississippi State on starting March the 15th, 14th, 15th weekend. But wanted to kind of play off what you said. I mean, guys, it's pretty rare to see, like you mentioned, 1 through 12, 13, 14 guys that can just be ready to play. I mean, that's a really hard skill, and I'll say it's very transferable to the next level when you may not, you know, if you're a bench bat and in the major leagues, you may not get in that bat for a week, but to be able to come in and contribute, you're kind of seeing that. Like you mentioned with Josh Pearson, I mean, that's just a veteran player, knows the game, understands his approach, and doesn't let not that it's a, you know, a frustration thing, but doesn't let one day off ruin his rhythm. Stays within his plan, within his approach that he's talked so much about. And look, those are the things that can make a team special down the stretch, where you can play different matchups when you get into some of these tough conference games, when you face, you know, tougher competition, some better pitchers, that Jay Johnson is going to have the confidence to say, okay, we can deploy, you know, so-and-so in this situation. If they want to make a switch in the bullpen, we can put this guy there because I know that their approach and their mindset is ready to go. And so that's something I thought that was really, really interesting. And like you mentioned, this is a very deep, deep lineup. I want to talk bullpen for a second before we kind of take a look ahead. You start Friday, man. Nate Ackenhausen, look, I know that it didn't end the way he wanted, but that guy was dealing after he gave up that solo shot. I believe he retired 6 in a row after that, striking out all 6 of those guys before, you know, he had to be lifted. Fidel Ulloa is going to become quickly a fan favorite if it's not due just to the mustache, but this guy can pitch, man. And when you hear, and first off, shout out to the broadcast crew. Thought I was worried about it, Glenn, but it really turned out to be great. It was a great little, great crew that had a great story. And look, if you hadn't heard the Fidel Ulloa story, you got to check it out somewhere, because the way that Jay Johnson and Nate Yeske found this guy, it's just crazy. Like, it just shows you talent is everywhere across the country, and it's up to these coaching staffs to go find it. So Friday night was really encouraging for the bullpen standpoint. And then you get to Saturday, where Griffin Herring goes 2/3 of an inning. Gavin Guidry goes that inning. And then Justin Lohr. Let's talk about Justin Lohr for a second. I don't know, Glenn, if you and I had a really good idea of what Justin Lohr's role would be coming, you know, when we saw him commit out of the portal. I think that he has the fire, compassion, the passion to be a back end of the bullpen guy, and he's got the stuff too, man. From his angle that he throws left-handed and some of that breaking stuff he mixes in. Talk about the bullpen as a whole. I know I didn't even get to Sundays, but Guidry was really good on Sunday. Primo had a scoreless, you know, was able to get, you know, out of what he needed to. Javon Coleman, Christian Little was another good sign of what he wanted to do. Your thoughts on this bullpen and some of those guys that stuck out?
Yeah, some really good. You know, a few kind of, you know, bad spots, I think tarnished otherwise really good starts. Mm-hmm. I mean, you mentioned the Ackenhausen deal there. I thought he, you know, for most of his outing was really, really strong and just kind of, you know, I think maybe got a little gassed or just kind of the team figured him out a little bit there. But yeah, I mean, you mentioned Justin Lohr. I mean, I saw him. I went to probably 4 or 5 different scrimmages in the fall, and I saw him maybe 3 times. I don't think he gave up a run in any of the performances that I saw. I think he was really a problem for these LSU hitters back in the fall. And I thought, you know, kind of coming into this year, he would be maybe that end of the bullpen guy, that closer that you could see a couple times in the weekend, really come out and close some tight games for you. And it's been a little bit of an up and down experiment, I think, experience with him so far. I think, you know, a couple teams have been able to come in and hit him pretty well. But you saw it here in this game against ULL on Saturday. Like, when he's got it going, you mentioned the angle. That was something that I asked him about kind of leading up to the season, just the weird kind of side angle he throws from. And how manipulative and manipulative that can be on opposing offensive hitters. But he was really, really good. I really like what LSU has with him. I think he can continue to be that guy for you as kind of an end of the bullpen guy that can close you some games. He threw a lot of strikes too, which was really good to see. He didn't walk anybody. He had four strikeouts and did a really nice job, I think, overall, just kind of settling that game. And Louisiana Lafayette made it very interesting down the stretch. I mean, LSU jumped out, I think, 4-0 or 5-1 against them or something, and they came all the way back and almost made that a real, real game there at the end. So Justin Lohr being able to kind of finish it off and close the door on him was really important for him. Really liked what Guidry did. I think he threw a couple, got a couple outs in the Saturday game, or maybe it was the Friday game. No, it was the Saturday game. He had a hole in where he struck out three. He came in the Sunday game where it was a little bit of a rough outing for Coleman, just in terms of his ninth inning performance. I think he walked three straight guys, and LSU pretty much had the game in the bag already. But they just needed somebody to come in there and get that final out, and Guidry was able to do that, get the final strike out there. You mentioned Christian Little. I thought Christian Little was good in his one inning this past weekend. And then Fidel Ulloa is obviously somebody that I think, like you said, is going to be a fan favorite. He's going to be somebody that LSU can really go to in high intensity situations. Maybe when you got a couple guys on and you need somebody to get one or two outs, I think he's somebody that you can really, really lean on and pitch a couple times in a weekend. And I think that was also something that I took away from, Jay Johnson's comments this last weekend after the Saturday game. He talked about just, man, like we threw probably 17 or 18 guys so far this year. And I don't think we've used hardly any of them, but twice in a weekend. I think Guidry is pretty much the only one that they've used twice in a weekend. They maybe have gone with Ackenhausen twice, but I don't even think they've used him twice. Yeah, like I think they've used Ulloa maybe twice in a weekend too. But like he said, that's just got to be really, really hard for opposing teams to plan against, just because you don't know what's coming next. And there's just really not a whole lot of big sample sizes out there of what these guys have done out of the bullpen, because they've used so many guys and they've only pitched them one time in a weekend and been able to save those arms and really for the big moments there. So I think that you're in a really good spot with this pitching staff. If they're not the deepest in the country, they're certainly one of a couple or three. I think you could probably throw Wake Forest in there. That's a really deep pitching staff. There's just a lot of positivity to talk about right now with this team. You're 11-1, and it really doesn't feel like you're playing your best baseball yet. Like there's a bunch of room for improvement here on the pitching side and certainly on the offensive side as well, with just kind of the consistency component to all this. So really like what LSU's done here through 12 games. You got another week and a half here before SEC opens up. And I think LSU's going to be in a position here where they're probably number one or number two in a lot of the polls here coming up here in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, obviously you talk about what's next for LSU. They're going to head on the road. They'll drive the 40-minute, about an hour drive over to southeastern Louisiana on Wednesday night, play a road game there, come back home, three-game set against Xavier, which I'm sure Justin Lohr will love that. He'll have some good soundbite and good clips against Xavier. And then North Dakota State, which I'll tell you this, Glenn, I'm glad that we don't have to go up to North Dakota State this time of the year to face the Bison. They get to come down to Baton Rouge. That's Tuesday, Wednesday, and then of next week. And then, man, it's over to the dude, as they call it, in Starkville, Mississippi, a big series there to open up SEC play at Mississippi State. And then one I cannot wait for, that first home SEC series. Why not have a College World Series rematch, Florida, the weekend of March 22nd through the 24th? It's going to be a lot of fun. College baseball in full swing. LSU, like you mentioned, 11-1. And Glenn, as we kind of wrap it up here, it does look like we have had an update there from LSU Sports, .net, where the polls have kind of been released now. So Baseball America has LSU number 2. D1 Baseball has them as number 3, and Perfect Game has them as number 3. And that 1-3 category, it's Wake Forest is the unanimous number 1 team in the country, and then LSU and Arkansas jockeying for that second spot, which that series in about a month or so up in Arkansas is going to be a fun one too, man. Can't wait for SEC baseball. And I can't wait too, Glenn. I want to say this, like this has been awesome to just go to these games against, and no disrespect to Central Arkansas and these other programs, and you got 10,000 plus in the stands. I can't even imagine what my first game in an SEC environment inside Alex Box is going to be like, because that's going to be a ton of fun. So
yeah,
college baseball in full swing. We got all the coverage over at Go247. Spring football right around the corner. Men's basketball vying for a spot in the NIT. It's a great time to sign up for that subscription over at Go247. You can click that link down below, hang out with us, chat with us, get some good conversation. The women getting ready to go to the SEC tournament in Greenville this weekend. Early this weekend is the number 2 seed. It's a fun time. Crossover season, spring season. And like we said, spring football starts on Tuesday. Glenn and I will be out there on Thursday for that first media availability. Thanks so much for watching. If it's over on YouTube, give us a like, give us a subscription there. Completely free for you to do. And if you're listening to this podcast, whether that's on Spotify, Apple, anywhere you get that, give us a follow. Leave us a 5-star review there. We appreciate your support. He's Glenn West. My name is Bryce Kuhn. LSU 11-1 to start the season. And a lot more coming from the Tigers inside Alex Box.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo, thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2. Kiss the Future, new documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount+. Go to Paramount+ to try it free. Terms apply.